Well, good morning, everyone. So good to see you all here this morning. So, without any further introduction, let's get straight into this. So let's consider this thought. When something is mentioned over and over and over in the Bible, it's generally an important topic, isn't it? Does it highlight to us that maybe we should be paying attention to it? So, Paul mentions grace in every single letter he wrote, and we know how important grace is in the life of a believer. But that's not what we want to look at this morning, because there's another word or another idea that Paul mentions in every letter. And often we don't consider it anywhere near as much as we consider grace. Although, this idea is very heavily associated with grace and mentioned almost as much. I want to read you the introduction to several of Paul's letters. And just listen out for the common theme. In Romans 1, may grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus the Messiah be yours. 2 Corinthians, may grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus the Messiah be yours. Galatians, may grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus the Messiah be yours. You get the pattern. Paul says the exact same thing in the first verses of each of these letters. And he goes on to do the same for the rest of his letters in almost the exact same words. And not only that, he often finishes his letters with the same phrasing. Grace and peace. So, this leaves us with a number of questions, doesn't it? Why is peace mentioned so often? Not just at the start, and then not just at the end, but in the body of his letters. And sometimes he doesn't say the word peace outright. That's very much alluded to. We know Paul's letters are often themed on grace, and we know how important grace is in the working out of God's plan. But what about peace? How does it fit into the grand scheme of things? Is Paul talking about a specific sort of peace in his letters? Well, let's consider that last question. Is Paul talking about a specific type of peace? In the following passages, we have two kinds of peace. So, I'll read these out. So, in Romans 15, verse 13. Now, may God, the source of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, I'll call this internal peace. In Ephesians 4, verse 3, do your best to maintain the unity of the Spirit by means of the bond of peace. Now, this is an external type of peace, isn't it? Let's take a look at two more examples. Let the peace of the Messiah also rule your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. And that was in Colossians 3, verse 15. That's internal peace. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3, when people say, there is peace and security, destruction will strike them as suddenly as labor pains come to a pregnant woman, and they will not be able to escape. So again, this is the idea of external peace. So we have these two very different examples of peace. We know that Paul, he does talk about external peace, or more commonly called unity. But there's also that other kind of peace, internal peace. So, what I want to look at this morning is the type of peace Paul is talking about in the opening and concluding verses of his letters. Is he talking about external peace? Or internal peace? Or maybe both? Let me read Paul's greeting again. May grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus the Messiah be yours. You know, to me, this sounds very much like Paul is talking about internal peace. Especially when considering it's mentioned right alongside grace. And I don't think I have to try too hard to persuade you that Paul's talking about inner peace. So for the bulk of my thoughts this morning, let's chase this idea of internal peace and look at why it's so important in our lives as children of God and followers of Christ. So first, what is internal peace? I think we all know what it is, but people have been chasing this idea or state of mind for millennia. You know, some of the great learned people in history, even with no Christian backgrounds, they pursue enlightenment or the concept of inner peace through knowledge. So much of mankind's philosophy and advice on how to become a better person, it's based on two things. Firstly, the advancement of knowledge, and secondly, inner peace. So any psychologist or counsellor worth their salt, they're going to be basing their guidance and advice on this idea of inner peace, inner calm. And it's not just because of no reason, because it works so well to create a healthy mind, in turn, which creates a healthy body. So when we're anxious, or our minds are in a state of inner turmoil, the systems in our body interact in ways that are not good for our health. So we have finely crafted bodies, don't we? With so many different systems. We've got the nervous system, working with the hormones, working with our cardiovascular system, and we have our immune system. And they all interact with one another. So when our minds are not at peace, it can have a massive impact on our physical health. So in the last 40 years, massive amounts of research and study have proved beyond a doubt that a variety of health conditions, it's linked back to a lack of internal peace, or the scientific term, which is homeostasis. So we know that poorly managed psychological stress can lead to a number of complications. So maybe lower back pain, maybe high blood pressure, ulcers, irritable bowel, rashes, abdominal pain, insomnia, headaches, panic attacks, and the common cold, and so much more. Now, it's not to say that these things are not also influenced by external conditions, of course, especially as we grow older and our bodies start to fail on us. But a mind that is in a state of inner peace is far less prone to many of the common issues that we face all the time. So when we're in a state of inner peace, the body is in that state called homeostasis, where our bodily systems, they're all functioning well, and as a result, we have good health, and we're more able to deal with problems and stress in life. And just to clarify, having inner peace, it doesn't make our problems go away, but it does put us in that state where we're better prepared to address problems both mentally and physically. So, we have a rough idea of what inner peace is, but how do we achieve it? Well, it might shock you to know I don't have those answers. However, we do have our guidebook, which does have some excellent advice for us, the Bible. So let's start by taking some guidance from Paul, the man who talks so much about peace or inner peace. And let's see what he has to say. So Romans 8 and verse 6, Paul says, to focus our minds on the human nature leads to death, but to focus our minds on the Spirit leads to life and peace. So let's keep that in mind, that we need to keep the Spirit, or God's presence, at the front of our minds, because it's that Spirit that leads to peace and life with Christ. So I'm going to go through a few verses here, so just listen to them. So the next one is in Romans 14, verse 17. For God's kingdom does not consist of food and drink, but of righteousness, peace, and joy produced by the Holy Spirit. So again, Paul tells us that peace, that is inner peace, I believe, is produced in us through God's Spirit. Further, Colossians 1, verse 20. Through the Son of God, the Son of God also reconciled all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, thereby making peace through the blood of his cross. So this passage is a little deeper, but I think we have strong evidence that what Paul says here is thereby making peace through the blood on the cross. What he means is that through the example of the life of Christ and through the resurrection that we We know God keeps his word, and thereby we can have inner peace, knowing that God, he does keep his promises, and he's offered us so much more. So a lot of advice from Paul is very theoretical, but does Paul give us any practical advice? Well, yes, Paul can't help himself when it comes to sharing a bit of practical advice, can he? So let's take a look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. And we read, "Flee from youthful passions. Instead, pursue righteousness, faithfulness, love, and peace, together with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart." Well, simply by our gathering this morning, we're following Paul's practical advice, aren't we? We're remembering our Lord and pursuing peace together. Paul has some more good advice for us in Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, which we read this morning. And it reads, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then God's peace, which goes far beyond anything we can imagine, will guard your hearts and minds in union with the Messiah Jesus." Well, isn't that a wonderful thought? We know that inner peace is such a hard thing to achieve. But Paul, he tells us to take all our worries, our thanks, our requests, and give them to God in prayer. And often we will not get the answers we want to our prayers, but he does work with us to build us up. And it's only that later on in life, or maybe even in the kingdom age, we can look back and see just how much God guarded our hearts and minds so that we may be in union with Jesus. So as an aside, I don't know who wrote Hebrews, but in Hebrews 12 verse 11 we read, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, for those who have been trained by it, discipline produces a harvest of righteousness and peace." This verse in Hebrews gives us strong evidence that peace doesn't just happen, but rather it's learned or trained through our constant failures. And in turn, the discipline we might receive from those around us and the consequences we face. And this all helps build us up as we do our best to guide each other. So, Paul had some great advice on inner peace, but what about God? Well, we have some quotes that give us a bit of insight from our Father in heaven as to how we can achieve a little bit of inner peace. So, there's so many good places in Scripture to take a look at with encouraging words that do promote inner peace. And it's so hard to choose. But I think the following verses are quite helpful. So in Isaiah 26, verse 3, let me read it. "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." And again, later on, we have direct words from God in Isaiah 41, verse 10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And later in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." So when reading verses like those and considering the idea of achieving inner peace, we learn that, much like Paul's words, that people who are in perfect peace are only like that because they trust in God, even if it's just for a moment. This idea of trust in God, it seems like such simple advice, but oh boy, how hard it is. And we know that keeping our minds on the things of God is one of the hardest things in life, because there's just so much to overwhelm us. So, we know a little bit about inner peace. We looked at some tips on how to achieve it. But how do we know when we have inner peace? Well, it's a difficult question to answer, especially because only we can know when we have inner peace. But I want to offer a few suggestions based on a few verses and maybe my own experiences. So we read in Romans 8 verse 6, "To focus our minds on human nature leads to death, but to focus our minds on the Spirit leads to life and peace. So the first instruction to obtaining inner peace is to focus our minds on the Spirit of God. Keep that in the back of your minds. We're going to look at the next step to obtaining inner peace, which is through prayer. And that's shown in Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the final step is in the very next verse, Philippians 4, verse 7. Then God's peace, which goes far beyond anything we can imagine, will guard your hearts and minds in union with the Messiah Jesus. So, how do we know we have inner peace? Well, as we've seen, one sure way is when our minds are focused on the Spirit of God. Maybe we've heard a touching song. Maybe a big event has happened in our lives. Or maybe we're somewhere in nature where we can see the beauty of God's creation. And at that moment, we can approach God to offer thanks. Maybe confide our problems with Him. And finally, in that moment of prayer and meditation, we might be granted inner peace, knowing that God, our God, wants us to be a part of His plan, and no one can take that from us. This inner peace that I've described, it might only last for a moment, but the more we can do it, the easier it becomes. And we can start to take a leaf out of David's book and meditate on the Lord occasionally, weekly, daily, then maybe always. So we're told in Psalm 143, verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. In Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I asked the Lord, that will I seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. So there's so much more to talk about when it comes to inner peace. And this morning we've really just tied a bunch of verses together. But we know how important inner peace is, don't we? And we know that inner peace, it doesn't take our problems away, but it does prepare us. And we have the knowledge that God wants us always. So I want to leave you with several parting verses. So 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Now may the peace of the Lord give you peace at all times and in every way. So 1 Timothy 5, verse 23. May the God of peace himself make you holy in every way, and may your whole being, spirit, soul, and body remain blameless when our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, appears. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brothers, farewell. Keep on growing to maturity. Keep listening to the word. Continue agreeing with each other and living in peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. And finally, brothers and sisters, my own words. I pray that the peace of God be with you now, especially as we remember the life of our Lord Jesus. And may inner peace be with you all forevermore as we look to His example and await His return.